Good morning. Could you please stand for the reading of the word this morning? Today we're going to be reading from Revelation 3, 14 through 20, and this is actually the New International Version. To the church in Laodicea, the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one of the other, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and to put on your eyes so you can see. For whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Please be seated.
Chris, for reading a portion of God's word for us. Stories told of a six-year-old girl by the name of Jenny, and she went to her mom and she complained that her stomach was hurting, and her mom said, "Well, that's because it's empty. There's nothing in it. If you have something in your stomach, then you'll feel much better." And then, so that same night, the pastor came over to visit, and he complained to the mother that he'd had a headache all day long. And Jenny said, "That's because it's empty. You'll feel better if you put something in it." Well, piercing words, whether they come from an adult or from a child, they can be helpful if they're true. But if they're not true, they're just plain old painful. When they come from the Lord Jesus Christ, however, we can be confident that they're true and they're something we need to hear. And such are the words of our Lord to the church in Laodicea. What is a lukewarm church or a lukewarm person? Why does our Lord have such strong words for somebody who's lukewarm towards him? In Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, we see the dynamics of a lukewarm church. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Revelation 3:14. Where we're at our seventh and final church here in Revelation 2 and 3, and it's been an interesting journey. Seven types of churches that our Lord addresses with seven types of people. And this is the final and last of the seven. And it's probably good to note that no church, I don't think I've said this before, has all one kind of people. You know what I mean? It's primarily what the church is like, but not 100%. No church is 100% any one of these seven. So let's look at the lukewarm church if we can. First, the person giving the message to the lukewarm church happens to be none other than the Lord Jesus himself. "And to the angel or the messenger of the church of Laodiceans write." Laodicea, before we go on, let's just talk briefly about the city. And how about the word itself? Laodicea is a compound word in the Greek. Laos, which is the Greek word for people, and dikao, which is the Greek word for to rule. It is the rule of the people. We would say democracy. Laodicea means democracy. It is the rule of the people. It was a very wealthy city. It was a city known for its medicine, particularly the medicine that helped people with eye problems and eye diseases. I share that because it will become significant later on. And so that is the city of Laodicea, and they had a church there. And Jesus addresses them. "These things says the Amen." Jesus refers to himself as the Amen. What does that mean? Well, the Amen means something that is certain or something that is sure. What is Jesus the certainty of? What does he bring assurance to? Well, if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we see exactly what Jesus brings certainty or assurance to. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy. And he was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Jesus is the one who brings certainty or assurance to all the promises of God. Because through Jesus, all the promises of God get their sure fulfillment. It's because of Jesus that we can have confidence in the promises of God the Father. He is the Amen, the certainty, the assurance that every promise that God makes will be fulfilled through Jesus. He goes on and refers to himself also not only Amen, but the faithful. Jesus is the faithful. His witness, what he says, is reliable because he's faithful, accurate because he is true. And so when Jesus says something to the church of Laodicea or to anybody, including us, what he says, even if it's hard to hear, is faithful. That is, it is reliable. It is true. That is, it is absolutely accurate. And he's setting them up because he has a kind of a tough message for them to hear. I'm the Amen. I am the faithful and I am the true witness. What I'm about to tell you is absolutely trustworthy. And then he concludes by saying he's also the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning or the originator of the creation of God. We might say that he is the source of everything that's ever been created. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by him, and without him there was nothing that's been made that was not made through him, John 1:3 tells us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we also read these words. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. What does that mean, the firstborn of all creation? We'll just keep on reading. For by him all things were created, things that are in heaven, that are on earth, things that are visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in Jesus all things consist or are held together. So Jesus not only created everything in the universe, he holds the universe together. If he did not hold the universe together by the power of his word, the entire universe would explode. We could say, therefore, that he is Almighty God. And because he is Almighty God, everything he says is trustworthy, it is true, it is reliable, and we need to hear anything that Jesus says. Amen? Because he is all of these things. Well, let's look at this heart of the message that he has to the church of Laodicea. What is the main problem with the church? The main problem with the church, and my guess is this is going to be a little bit of a tweak from your understanding. It was a tweak from my understanding. The problem with the lukewarm church, the lukewarm person. Verse 15, I know your works. I am acquainted with all the things that you have done, he is saying. And from your works, from your behavior, I can see the quality of your life. I can discern your spiritual condition by watching your works. Now, only Jesus can do that. And he says, I know what's going on the inside by watching the outside. I understand your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. You're not cold, you're not hot. It's kind of like have you ever had iced tea? Iced tea tastes good. Have you ever had hot tea? Hot tea tastes good. Have you ever tasted lukewarm tea? Lukewarm tea doesn't taste too good. Right? Iced tea is good and warm tea is good. He said, I wish you were hot. I wish you were cold. Now, what is a spiritually hot person and what is a spiritually cold person? Because we have to identify who they are so that we can say why he wishes that they, the Laodiceans, were cold or hot. Well, people who are hot, and he's not talking about hot, you know what I mean? He's not talking about that kind of hot. Now, he's talking about somebody, and we're going to prove it from the scriptures here. He's talking about somebody who's spiritually alive. Somebody who's trusted Jesus as their Savior, surrendered to him as their Lord. Jesus has come in and changed their heart, given them a new heart that loves God, wants to please God, wants to serve God. We're talking about someone who's spiritually alive. Jesus has made them different because he has come into their life because they've invited him in. That's a spiritually hot person. A spiritually cold person, we'll look at some scriptures, is one who's heard things about the Lord and who has just openly just rejected Jesus as their personal Savior and as their personal Lord. They've heard it. They understand it. They're not playing any games. They just don't want Jesus in their life. That's a spiritually cold person. They have rejected the Lord at this point, his word, his people, the church. It's a spiritually cold person. Let's take a look at some scriptures to kind of get used to that definition of spiritually hot and spiritually cold, okay? Because then we'll understand what a spiritually lukewarm person or church is. Let's turn first to Acts chapter 8 and kind of test this definition against some real life illustrations from the scriptures. Okay, everybody here, we know who Saul was. He became Paul, right? And let's take a look at Saul. Acts 8:3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered because of Saul's persecution went everywhere preaching the word. Okay, let's look at Saul first. He is making havoc of the church. He's dragging people out of their house, out of the church. He's getting women by the hair and he's pulling them and he's throwing them into the prison. Does that sound like someone who's spiritually hot? Sounds like somebody who's hot, but not spiritually hot. Does that sound like somebody who's spiritually cold, who's openly rejected the claims of Christ? Sounds like that to me. I would say that Saul was spiritually cold. How about the people, the Christians, who were scattered, persecuted, and wherever they went, they ended up sharing the gospel with people? That sounds like people who are spiritually hot to me. They're boiling over in their zeal for Jesus. You're not going to kick Jesus out of me, they're saying, and they kept on sharing it. They are spiritually hot. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Let's evaluate another group of people. Sometimes it's just kind of good to get illustrations from real life, illustrations from the scriptures to help us to get a picture of these terms. Matthew chapter 7, let's pick it up in verse 21. Not everyone, this is Jesus speaking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, that is judgment day, many will say to me on judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders or miracles in your name? And I will declare to them, I will say, I never knew you. I never had a personal, intimate relationship with you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, these are people who are obviously kind of churchy kind of people. They, according to the words from their lips, prophesied in his name, cast out demons in his name, did many wonders, wonderful works in his name. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, but you're not going to spend eternity with me. You're going to spend eternity separated from me. Because I never what? I never knew you. Your sins were never forgiven. You never had your sins wiped out, removed by trusting what I did on the cross for you and giving your life to me. Now, this is somebody, they attend church, church things, but they have no personal relationship. They are not spiritually hot. They are not spiritually cold, openly rebelling against the things of the Lord. They are spiritually what? Lukewarm. That's the spiritually lukewarm. Connected to church, attend church, serve perhaps in the church, but no personal relationship with Jesus. They're not openly hostile, but they have not embraced or trusted him as their Lord and Savior either. And then our Lord makes what I consider to be the most startling statement that he makes to any of the seven churches. I mean, this one blows me away. As we go back to Revelation 3, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. I prefer that you were cold over lukewarm. I prefer that you be openly rejecting me. Yes. Yes. I prefer that over playing the church game. That's what he's saying. There's no question about it. That's what he's saying. Now the question is, why would he prefer a cold person over a lukewarm person? We know why he would choose a warm, hot person over a lukewarm. They know him, they love him, they serve him, they belong to him forever. But why somebody who's cold? That's my question. And from the looks on your face, it seems to be your question as well. Well, let's turn to a passage that may help us. Let's turn to Matthew 21. And you know something? After studying and thinking about it, I agree with Jesus. Which is probably a smart thing to do, right? I mean, I'm going to cast my vote with Jesus. That's smart, huh? Matthew 21, verse 23. Now, when he, that is Jesus, came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching. And they said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Now you got the chief priests and the elders. They were the religious establishment. They were the religious people. They didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. They didn't believe him. They didn't trust in him. But they were people who were part of the religious establishment. They were very, very what we would call religious. I would put them in the lukewarm category. They were kind of playing religion, if you know what I mean. Let's jump down. Okay, these are the chief priests, the elders, of the people. Let's drop down to verse 31 of Matthew 21. Which of these two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, chief priests and the elders, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots will enter the kingdom of God before you. Tax collectors and harlots, would you say they were spiritually hot? That's kind of a stretch, huh? Spiritually lukewarm? Oh no, they weren't even pretending to be religious or connected to things. No, I would say they were spiritually cold. They were just like on all this stuff. Jesus says, that the tax collectors and harlots, the spiritually cold, will enter the kingdom of God before you, the spiritually lukewarm, who are kind of playing religion. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterwards relent and believe him. I think somebody who's spiritually cold who just basically says, "I'm just not interested. I understand. I hear what you're saying. It's not for me." They're being more honest. Spiritually lukewarm person tends to kind of be hypocritical. They're kind of playing the outward game, kind of looking good, but not really open on the inside. The spiritually cold, they're pretty generally kind of passionate. No way, man. I know what I think, and I think that this thing just doesn't isn't for me. They're kind of very passionate, very honest, very transparent. And for them, it's easier for them to see their need for a Savior than it is for somebody who's just kind of mixing in and really doesn't personally know the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. It kind of has nothing to do with what we're talking about until you make the link. Our oldest son, Dan, he was probably about, 2.5 when Mary Ann, our daughter, was conceived. So he's about 3 years old. Melinda's carrying Mary Ann. And Dan was very convinced and very convincing that his mom was going to give him a baby brother. I mean, he preached it to everybody. He was passionate. He didn't just tell people. He told people that he was going to have a baby brother. His mom had a baby brother. And he had everybody convinced that it was going to be a boy. There was no doubt about it. I thought it was going to be a boy because of the passion of his convictions. Well, the day finally came, and we dropped Dan off at some friends, and Linda goes in. We go in, and she brings forth a baby girl, and we were just incredibly surprised. He had us completely convinced, I'm telling you. So I go home, and I go to pick Dan up, and I said to him, Dan, he's a little over 3 years old at the time. I said, "Hey, do you know your mommy had the baby?" He said, "I know." I said, what do you think it was?" He said, "Baby boy." I said, no, Dan, it was a baby girl." He said, "No, it was a boy." It was a boy. I said, "Well, I'm not going to debate a 3.5-year-old or whatever." So in any event, we went. And we were walking back to the apartment, and we ran into a neighbor. And I told the neighbor, "Yeah, Melinda had the baby." And he said, "Well, what did she have?" I said, "Well, he had a little girl, and her name's Mary Ann." And he, yada yada, and he congratulated us. And man, little Dan's looking up at me, listening to the conversation, you know. And then we left. And after that, we would run into people and talk to people. And Dan was the first one to tell everybody that his mom had a baby girl. See, once a person that is passionate and convinced, even though they're wrong, once they get over the hump, they're passionate and convinced on the right side. See? And that's the condition of people, you know. At least they're honest. At least they're passionate. At least they care. When they're spiritually cold. Spiritually lukewarm, tough to convince. They can play the game. Jesus says, "I wish you were spiritually hot, of course, and I wish you were spiritually cold. I could get you over the hump easier." Well, our Lord continues, verse 16, "So then, because you are lukewarm and you're neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Eventually, enough and enough with the hypocrisy. Eventually, enough is enough. And I'm just going to reject you. I'll be patient. But eventually, enough is enough. And Jesus will eventually reject the lukewarm. Verse 17, because you say I am rich, and here's the source of their problem. Because you say that I am rich, and they were physically, materially rich. This was a wealthy city. And you have become wealthy, and you have need of nothing. It was as though their material riches stood in the way of them becoming spiritually rich. And you have need of nothing. You do not know, because of your material wealth, you do not know that you are wretched. You are miserable. That word means to be pity. You are wretched, and because you're so wretched, you are pitiful, miserable. You are poor. You are spiritually bankrupt. You have nothing to offer God, and you don't see it. You are spiritually blind. You can't see. And you are naked. You think you've got a lot, but you've got nothing to offer God. That's the root of the problem. You think you're doing well spiritually because you're doing well materially, and you don't see your need. Jesus says, oh, I just wish you could see your need. Because if you saw your need, then we could convince you and reach you, and you could be mine. In John chapter 9, we see a great illustration of this. John chapter 9. Notice what our Lord says. He heals the man who was born blind. And the man who was born blind not only can see physically, but he comes to Jesus and he can see spiritually then too, right? That's the background. John chapter 9, verse 39. Verse 38, then he said, Lord, I believe. And the man who was born blind but now could see worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. So those who can't see and who admit that they can't see spiritually, I've come so that they might see, that they might have spiritual sight. Those who believe that they can see, I've come to make them even more blind than they already are. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words. And they said to him, Lord, are we blind also? In other words, we see, so we must be the ones who are blind, because that's what you just said. And Jesus said to him, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. In other words, the first step in being able to be saved from our sins is to see that we are spiritually blind. That we are spiritually naked, that we are spiritually poor. But until you get to the point where you see that you are blind, naked, and poor, you'll never see. And so our Lord gets to the root of the problem with a lukewarm church or lukewarm person. Well, let's briefly look at the prescription for the church. Jesus, he never leaves us without hope. Jesus never leaves us without hope, and he doesn't leave the lukewarm church without hope either. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Gold refined in the fire, if we compare that to 1 Peter 1:7, that would be genuine faith that is tested by the trials and fires of life. Genuine faith. What you need is real faith in me that changes you from the inside out. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, not just physically rich, but spiritually rich forever. And also that you get from me white garments. And that is a picture of righteousness, genuine righteousness, that you might have my righteousness credited to your account. That's what you need. And that you may be clothed, because that the shame of your nakedness may be revealed, and you would see that you've got nothing, and I will clothe you with my righteousness instead. And also I will anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. You may remember that some of the medicine that they had come up with in Laodicea was eye medication that helped people to see. And so he uses that. You guys are spiritually blind. You can't see truth. You can't embrace the truth. You're unable to believe the truth. And until you come to me, that's just the way it's going to be. You need the Spirit of the living God in you to illuminate truth. And that only happens when you embrace me and trust me as your Lord and trust me as your Savior. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, we read this. Jesus answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them," the spiritual leaders, the religious leaders, "alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and the blind leads the blind. Both will fall into a ditch." Jesus says, you can't stay spiritually blind. You got to come to me. And I'll give you the Spirit of the living God inside you, and he will enable you to see truth and to embrace truth. Finally, our Lord says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." You need to repent. You need to see yourself differently. You need to see God differently. You need to see me differently. You need to see how you come to be saved from your sins differently. You need to repent. And then Jesus closed with an invitation. "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I'm knocking on the heart of each one of you. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, invites me in, I will come into him, I will dine with him, and he will dine with me." Dining is a picture of fellowship, of intimacy. If you ask me into your life, it'll make everything right. You will go from being lukewarm to spiritually hot. The worst thing in the world would be for somebody to be at a wonderful place like the Canton Grace Brethren Church with wonderful people, with the truth of God being taught and preached, and not know Jesus. Do not be lukewarm spiritually. Do not play the church game. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Go from being spiritually lukewarm to being spiritually alive, spiritually hot. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to see that knowing you through Jesus is what it's all about. It's what it's about in this life. It's what it's about in the life to come. And there's nothing to be proud of, but just something to be grateful for. Help each person here, Lord, to see their spiritual need. Help anyone here who has not trusted Jesus and what he did on the cross for them to see that that's what they need, that they might be spiritually rich, spiritually able to see, spiritually alive. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.